Father, we thank you tonight for a wonderful privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to heaven, it's a known fact, we'll be able to discern him from all the others that are there. Dear Lord, not only from the radiant that comes from him and the glory of God, but from those marks that he has on his body because of what he did for us. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you did. And it's our desire this life to be a mouthpiece for you. God, help us. Please help us in our weakness. Pray for those who are against us, Lord. We pray for those who find fault. And dear Lord, just seem sometimes be so religious and yet not have their hand on what God is doing. And we just ask that you let this be a place to renew us, to go back into the world, that we might be used of God in such a way that until you call us home, one day we'll hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. I preached a message a number of years ago on this particular chapter and on this particular person, but I want to come back again to that because it amazes me how the Bible emphasizes service. And sometimes it doesn't put a lot of emphasis in the sense to put it up on a hill or put a banner or plaque that where the world would see what someone does for the Lord. It's obvious that I, as a preacher, though I may not be high like some preachers, stand out compared to someone who's just a faithful servant in a church. It's obvious that people who are well known nationally stand out in the eyes of people who are considered to be, who people consider to be very religious and used of God. If I would say and mention Billy Graham's name, I'm sure about everybody in the world religious would know him by now that has heard any religious programs at all. If not, I'm sure there's a big part of the world would know him. But did you know, just because God raises up to a point that our name's in the light and also in the minds of people, doesn't mean that there's not some people you never hear of that God uses just as much. So I'm glad he's keeping the record. I'm glad God keeps the record. Now thank God for we who serve him, because I'd never be where I'm at now if I weren't a good member when I got saved. I'd never be where I was at now unless I was a good usher when I ushered. I'd never be where I'm at now unless I was a good deacon when I was a deacon in the church. I'd never be where I'm at now unless I was a good teacher when I was in the church. I'd never be where I'm at now unless I had been loyal and faithful to the pastor of the churches that I was in during the years until God moved me somewhere else. So all of these steps are very important for God to use us at a maximum while we're here in this life. But sometimes no one else notices what we're doing. But I got news for you. God sees it all. And God rewards according to what is done based on what he has led us to do. Sometimes people get out of it and think they do a lot and going to be rewarded, and they're rewarded here. Not be no rewards in heaven because what they did was in vain. It promoted self more than promoting the kingdom of God. But in Acts chapter 1, we see there's an absentee among the 12 disciples. We know his name is Judas Iscariot. If we go back in verse 13 and 14, he tells us who are there at this meeting in the upper room. And we see 11 of the disciples mentioned. One is not mentioned. You know who it is? Judas. He's not mentioned here at this time. They've been meeting here and prayerfully some 10 days. How do I know that? Well, because back in the chapter 1 in verse 3, he talks about that Jesus was seen within 40 days. He arose and went back to be with the Father. We know the day of Pentecost is on the 50th day. So there's 10 days between what we see in his resurrection and to when the Holy Spirit came back at Pentecost. Now, during this period of time from the ascension of Christ until the day of Pentecost, there's a group of people been meeting together in Jerusalem prayerfully. There's a prayer group going together. And as we approach this, we see in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It's interesting now. Notice
with the women. Why is that so important?
You go back and look at the Leviticus system, you'll find that women did not worship with men. They had a place, even the temple, the court, which where the women could go. But there are certain places the women could not go in the Old Testament in the Leviticus system. It was more masculine in the sense of what went on. But now, in this upper room, not only do we have the apostles, not only do we have men, but we have women. They're meeting together to worship God, and there's about 120 of them, according to what the record tells us here. Notice they were in one accord. Now, there could have been a lot of argument going on at this meeting among the leaven. I mean, some of the apostles could have said, "Hey, Peter, what is this thing about you cursing, swearing about not knowing Jesus Christ that night when he was taken prisoner? What happened there?" Peter could have been said, "John, if you hadn't got me into the palace temple, I wouldn't have been in the trouble I was in." You say that people do things like that? Yeah. Yeah. We look always away to get it to find why we do certain things, especially if we're caught that they're actually wrong. Or maybe some of them are talking about who'd be the greatest. They argue about that before, some of the apostles did. Who's going to be the greatest now? Jesus is gone. It looks like everything's gone to pop just about. But there's 120 that's worshiping there in that room. And notice what it says, though. There was no bickering. There was no problems in the sense of blaming each other. It says that they were in one accord. I like that. Well, you can do things for God if you're in one accord. But if a church is not in one accord, mark it down. God will not do as much through that because he needs a united front. And so now we see in verse 15, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and he said," and the Holy Spirit threw in a parenthetical phrase here and said, letting us know the number of names together were about 120. So he said again, we're going to leave that parenthetical phrase out for a minute and say, "Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and hath attained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that the field is called in their proper tongue Aseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.'" Now, it's interesting. If you go back and you look in the book of Psalms, you'll find that he mentions, to start with, about it's written in the Psalms, "Let his habitation be of desolate." You find that he's talking about their tents of dwelling, where they dwell. "Let there be no one dwell there," in Psalm 69, verse 25. He's talking about this. About 1,000 years before this happened, he's telling us ahead of time in prophecy how this land would be used. And then he says again, when his bishopric let another take. In other words, the overseer or position that this man's in, someone else is going to take that position. Already, in fact, this is prophesied in Psalm 109, down about verse 8. So here, God has given ahead of time some information that's taken place. Now the apostles come along. They've gone through this experience with Christ. Christ has died, buried, raised again. Go back to the sea of sin, and now they're in Jerusalem waiting. And suddenly on this day, the Holy Spirit moves Peter to stand up and say, "Hey, here is what has happened. The prophecy that God gave in the book of Psalms has been fulfilled in this person." And he said, we have to now replace him. Why? Because God gave the message of the 12 tribes to Israel. It is to the Jew they must take the message. And they must be 12 because that's the number set up representing the apostles. It's a number that is a blessed complete number. And so this has to be filled at this time. Now notice this. At this time, it must be filled. And he goes on and he said, "And it was known unto all the dwellers," look in verse 20, "for it is written in the book of Psalms." He goes back and uses the book of Psalms as his text. You see, they don't have no New Testament yet. They don't have any written of what we call the New Covenant yet. So Peter says, he goes back to the book of Psalms and said, "Here's what God has already said in the Psalms." And he said, "It's written, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from, watch, the baptism of John, until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Here's the thing. To the Jews, this place must be filled for the 12 apostles to be able to witness of the resurrection of Christ and show the Messiah has come, that in turn would be to the Jews. Now, some people say, well, the apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, was made the 12th apostle. No, he wasn't. He was made an apostle, but he wasn't one of the 12. Not prove that. If he had, this man would never have been voted in. These 12 apostles were to go to the Jews with the message that the Messiah has come. Paul's message was to the Gentiles. And in Paul's message, he included Jew and Gentile into the church. But still at the time that when Peter and the apostles were preaching, they were preaching direct to the Jews. The gospel is to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Now, this is interesting because the book of Acts is a transition period. And God is letting us see things happen as they unfold. And why? And we move on to the New Testament. Some things are no longer like they were in the Old Covenant. And so at this particular time, again, he says, now, this person who's got to fill this position has to have been with Christ just like the other apostles. You cannot be an apostle. Somebody nowadays, you say, tonight we're going to have apostle so-and-so speaking. Well, he got to raise him from the dead. Because there's no such a thing. You say, well, the apostle means just a follower, as may be. But the apostle, biblically, has to be one of the 12 or one of those that walk with Christ. They had to be from Christ, from John's baptism, up to Jesus rose from the dead. And they had to witness Jesus Christ rising up into glory from the dead. From the dead and going back to glory. That was a requirement for them to be an apostle to fill this place where Judas had actually left. Notice he said, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken us up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed to Joseph called Bersabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, now it's interesting, they appointed these two. And now since they have more than one, they look at the leadership of the Holy Spirit and not specifically picking out one. I would think there's probably some more there. But these are the names that were presented to this 120 who to look at and pray over to fill this position that is necessary for the 12 apostles to function like God set up to function so that they could in turn preach the resurrection of Christ to the Jews. And they pointed to Joseph called Barsabas. Notice who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. So now they go and say they prayed over these two men. And now they're asking God to work out a system of choice. And they do it by lot. That he may be partakers of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. That he might go to his own place. Speaking of Judas. And they gave forth their lots. And the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. That's what the Holy Book says. So the Apostle Paul can't be one of the 12. Now, the Apostle Paul is very important. As a matter of fact, blessed be the name of God, without him, I don't know whether you're not heard the message or not. Because even Peter had trouble going to Gentiles. He and Paul had some problems about that. And Paul had to reprimand Peter. And Peter realized it was the Lord. And he took it. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes one who knows the most, who gives the word of God, may reprimand someone else, and they don't like it much. But Peter knew he had a heart of God, and he listened when he knew someone had more authority than he had. And Peter was the leader of these 12. He always spoke for them. He always listened, but he always spoke for them. Sometimes he spoke hastily. And then he goes on and said that they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now, I want you to go back, look at me in John chapter 20, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about these two men, Barsabas and Matthias, and especially Matthias, for a minute. And I think these two great Christians, these are two gigantic Christians in the New Testament that you don't hear anything about. It doesn't give us anything other than they were here, and what the requirements of apostles would be. You didn't hear about them before this verses. You don't hear about them after these verses. But they were great Christians. The characteristics of these men was great. Now go back in chapter John chapter 20 and verse 22. I read that to you this morning, where it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So we know that these 11 had received the Holy Ghost. If you go back to Luke with me in chapter 24 and verse 45, he says, then he, talking about Christ, as he's witnessed to these two men on the road to Emmaus, he says, "And then opened he their understanding." He is also now has talked to the disciples here. He's given them understanding. He's breathed on them the Holy Spirit of God. "And then opened he their understanding," in verse 45, "that they might understand the Scriptures." Now, what Scripture they have? The Old Testament. He breathes on the Holy Spirit, and he gives them understanding to understand the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And from there, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to certain one of these the New Covenant, which in turn will be referenced to what God has prophesied in the Old Covenant, and then get to a point add beyond that how God has fulfilled his promise. In verse 52 and 53, it said, "And they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy." And seeing Christ after the resurrection, the ascension, they worship him, they went back to Jerusalem, and they were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God, and also other places at that particular time. So now we go back to Acts chapter 1, and we pick up the scene now. Disciples full of the Holy Spirit, and here all of a sudden, Peter stands up. There's 120 members here in this New Testament church business meeting, if you want to call it that, at this time. Peter is the moderator. Peter's always listed first with the apostles. And here we see Peter standing up and began to address these people about this particular important subject. Amazing thing about it, they'd been in prayer for at least about 10 days. Solid prayer. Now, I don't know if it's 24 hours a day or what, but they'd been up there praying in and out for 10 days. Some people can't even pray for 10 minutes. It takes prayer, a lot of prayer, sincere supplication of prayer for some things to take place when it comes to what God does in our life. And Peter, James, and John, and even Thomas, I've thought about a lot. I bet you during that time, as they were there praying, there was a lot of asking God to forgive him. I bet Peter had asked God to forgive him for what he had done. He knows now by the power of the Spirit of God things that he didn't know when he actually, though he knew it was wrong, denied the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom John may have been also, was he'd have stood the ground better or something. Or maybe Thomas, who was there now, is brokenhearted because he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the disciples came and told him, "We've seen him already. He met with us on the Sunday night. You won't hear Thomas. He met with us." Maybe he himself had got things right with God at that time. No doubt there's a lot of prayer about forgiveness here in the first few hours of those prayers. But there was a vacancy on the staff at this time. Now, to fill this position, they have to meet the qualifications. There's a qualification. God has a right to put requirements on those his positions. Nowadays, we have a world that says it don't really matter. It doesn't matter what God said years ago. We're living a different time, different age. People have to face different things. It still stands true. What God says is true. What God says, there needs to change it. We can't change it because society changes. When you do, you got chaos, and you got just what we got in society. You got everybody doing everything in the name of God, and God is not pleased with most of it. So here, he set the qualification. And here, the vacancy has to be filled in this place. Now, maybe at this time, when Peter said this, we ought to fill this position. Here's the requirements. Here's the ones that you have. They have to start with John's baptism and come all the way up to the ascension of Jesus Christ. They have to witness the resurrection of Christ. That's a requirement for apostle. And I can see that there were some that were there. I know probably there's more than these two men. And maybe someone said, "You know what? I believe that. I nominate Barsabbas. And someone else says, "You know, that's good. He'd be a good one, but I nominate Matthias." And then Peter, the moderator, said, "Well, listen. And I'm paraphrasing here, trying to understand my time if I had been there." And maybe Peter said, "All right, what we're going to do, we'll ask God to give us direction by casting lots." It's like a vote. And they pray and ask God to bless his decision on them through this method. And the vote by lots are cast, and Matthias gets the most votes. And he's placed in this wonderful position called an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter asked the Holy Spirit's leadership as to who they were to choose. They prayed, they voted, not casting lots. We don't cast lots today, but there are positions we vote in. When it comes to a deacon, we vote of those on the board. When you get a pastor of this church, there'll be a vote. Even though God may prayerfully touch someone's heart to pray for someone, there will be a vote one day again for the pastor of this church if the Lord don't come back. So what are we saying? We're saying that there is a way that God will honor vote if God's people pray about it and ask them to help a majority of people give what is needed for His church, for His kingdom. Now, this position was the right position. I know this because if you look over with me in chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter stands and he preaches standing up with the 11. Notice, he now stands up with the 11. Matthias is in the group. And he declares, he lifts up his voice, and he said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And he begins to preach a message of Joel's prophecy. And by the way, all 11 backed him up. There's not one word of resistance here whatsoever. They were saying, "Amen, Peter, preach it, Peter, preach it, Peter. It's Bible truth, Peter, preach it, Peter." And Matthias is in that group. Now, it's interesting. Let me say this before we look at these men. At this time, they fill the position. But if you go over with me to Acts chapter 12, and you look with me, you'll find another apostle in Acts chapter 12 died for the cause of Christ. His name was James. They didn't fill that position. Wonder why. Now God has presented the message not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. Why is it necessary for Matthias to be there? Because if you look in Revelation, you'll find over in Revelation about chapter 21, you'll find down about 14, the 12 apostles' names are in, if you look at the foundation of that new city. Matthias' name is one being there. Even in the New Jerusalem, the apostles are set aside for what they are when you look at what Paul did. There's a message to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And now in the transition period, God is moving from just the nation of Israel to the whole world. And now Peter realized in Acts 10 by going to Cornelius' house that God is taking Gentile in too. And he understands that Paul's message is to the Gentile. And when it comes to the end of the apostles, they don't need that message just to Israel anymore because the church will pick up the message to the whole world. Isn't God amazing? It's amazing how it makes sense. When you look at the whole picture and ask God to help you put it together so you can see what He's doing. Why did He have Matthias like He did, added to the 12 because Judas? Why would it be necessary to add him now, knowing in just a few years things are going to be different anyhow? Because the time was not right for Israel to not be told as of yet. They had to still be read. By the way, all through the book of Acts until you get down to by Acts chapter 10, you'll find most of the message was to the Jew. And then God called Cornelius out and sent Peter down to Cornelius' house. And he was a Gentile. And there the gospel began to open up to the whole world. And so, it's through Matthias. It is thought that Matthias was saved in John's ministry back in the Gospel of John. No one can tell that for sure. But anyhow, we know that it seems that he was one that followed maybe John in those early years. And when Christ came along, he trusted him also. How do we know that he was such a great Christian? And let's just look at Matthias for a few minutes back in Acts chapter 1. How do we know that Matthias and Barsabbas both were great Christians? One reason I know that Barsabbas would be a great Christian because when the lot fell on Matthias, you don't have no insurrection by it. You don't have no arguing by it. You don't have no one say, "Well, bless God, I think I was there too. What difference?" When the lot fell, that was it. God had spoken for the people. And so Barsabas was a man who didn't cause problems, but instead he said, bless God, I'll serve God before I can. So then Matthias. Can you imagine what it must have been like? There's 2 points quickly to this message. Number one, simply, Matthias qualified to be an apostle, but he was not chosen with the 12 when Jesus chose them. Jesus called the names of the apostles out in Luke chapter 6, verse 13 through 16. He names all 12 of them. Matthias nor Barsabas, not in there. And since Matthias is one that was actually called here, then let's go back. He had to be there too when Jesus called him, the other 12. And one of those was a devil. And he picked him and God's wonderful plan. If that had been one of us today, we'd have said, they just don't appreciate me. Jesus, that's not fair. After all, I qualify too. And he did. But you hear nothing like that. Nothing said. By the way, God is honest in his word. If there was, I believe it'd be recorded. God not afraid to show us how people act and what they do. And he also shows the good side of character of people too. And I see this in this man. Simply, Matthias ate no sour grapes. He did not get into the inner circle, but he kept serving God. And after 3.5 years later, he's still serving God. He's with the group upstairs in the room of this 120 that makes up this group that's serving God in the best way that they know how. I read a story one time. It was talking about 301 people ran for office in a section of somewhere or another, and said one man voted in was the 301st man. And you know, he's the last man. 300 more were voted in before he was voted in. And someone asked him a question. He said, don't you feel bad about being the 301st man? And he said, no, sir. He said, I rejoice over the fact. Well, I just think there's 300 men that's in these positions that's greater than I am. I'm the 301st one. Man, we got a great organization. Man, isn't that an attitude? Isn't that an attitude? Praise be in God, Lord. It worked. It's how it went. So therefore, you know, I'll be the 301st one. But thank God, there's 300 more men that are greater than I am for that position because they got more votes than what I got in that situation. Another thing is that Matthias was not in the inner circle, but he didn't resign. He didn't quit. He just kept on serving God. He stuck it out. And he said simply this, I believe you can count on me. I don't know where I can serve you, but you can count on me. The apostles, you can count on me serving God. I'll be where I need to be when I need to be there. You can understand that I'm not upset in any way because I didn't get the highest position. I'm just going to serve God. And a privilege it is for me to serve God any place, anywhere, anytime. That's Matthias' thinking. You have to be, because he was from the very beginning. I'll just keep teaching. I'll just keep singing in the choir. I'll just be an usher. I'll be what I can be for the glory of God because I know that God's kingdom is a reality and I have the privilege and honor to serve him. Matthias could have said, you know, old Peter used to curse and swear that as a fisherman he didn't know God. He could have thrown that up and said, I ought already been, that's right, you voted right. I should already been an apostle because look what Peter did. I never done that. No, sir. No, sir. You say, well, wait a minute, preachers, that's too far out. There's a lot of far out things been said these days. Don't tell me someone gets angry. They can say a lot of things they're not meant and then can't take them back. And they hurt when they are said too. And any time someone has said something about someone, it hurts them when they hear it. And they'll hear it. If you say anything about anybody in a derogatory way, God, Satan will see to it sooner or later they hear it. And they'll tell you exactly where it came from. Because he works that way. He's a strife. He destroys. And that's all he cares about. But Matthias was not that way. He was a solid individual who just wanted to serve God. He could have said John was an introvert. He got in. He didn't show that type of attitude. He had an attitude, the fact that I'm just going to serve God. He said, if I cannot be one of the 12, and I'm thinking as just looking at the situation here, he wasn't chosen by Jesus, and he would say to himself something like, if I can't be one of the 12, I'd be one of the 120. Because he's in the 120. Or I'd be one closer as I can get to him at this particular time. I'm just going to serve God. And I thought about that. God has gave us some people in our church like that. Faithful. Faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but someone to lead a single like Brother Ken does here, They pay him a pretty good salary. Not him, but they pay people like that a good salary. And Ken does it for nothing except for the glory of God. I want to tell you, that's a blessing. Now, people sing in the choir. Our musicians come. They never ask for a thing. Sister Lynch, Denise, Angela, others in here that plays for us. I don't get naming people. I forget somebody. I don't mean to do that. But I'm saying, they don't ask for a thing. I see in the paper all the time where churches are willing to pay high salary for people who just play the instruments. They don't care whether you're saved or unsaved, as long as you can play. We have been blessed. Of people who really, and I know sometimes there's things get in the way, and sometimes we get depressed and depressed and things don't go just right, and sometimes we can't do what we want to do. But I'm telling you, God has given us people who you don't see a whole lot about maybe, and even others who may not be in a limelight at all, but they're still serving God. They're in the pew. They're there just to be used to support God in His work through Fellowship Baptist Church. And God don't overlook that. There'll be people who serve God with a quiet heart and a quiet mouth and a quiet spirit and just serve God, didn't cause any problem whatsoever down through the ages, and they'll get more than those who are leadership or church when you get to heaven one day. Because God sees it all. We need to understand what has taken place, and Matthias is that type of person, I believe, with all my heart. Faithful through the years. Matthias, where is your name in the Bible with the first disciples? Where's your name at with Peter, James, and John? Matthias said, my name's not there. But I still got to serve God all these years. Just because my name wasn't in the highlights of the others and the 12 and with Christ, I had still had the privilege to serve God in the capacity that I could. And I'm glad Jesus knew where I was at. I'm glad God knew where I was at. He knew my heart. He knew everything that was needed this time. Well, are you going to quit? Matthias would say, no, sir. I'm not going to quit. Did you think Matthias thought he was going to be placed in Judas's place here? Absolutely not. 3.5 years from now, he wasn't looking now. He knew there couldn't be but 12. He didn't go to that meeting tonight and say, listen, Peter, you know, we need to replace Judas. No, it wasn't that. Peter got up and said, the Holy Ghost has moved in our heart. We need to replace Judas, and this is how we're going to do it. And he gives the instructions. Well, Matthias, they must not have really appreciated you. Paul wrote to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, is what he said in verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with long-suffering, and doctrine. He said, the time's going to come. People won't endure sound doctrine, but you just do that. That's a command from God. Your life should be that way. Matthias was faithful without the attention from others, what I want you to see. Serve God for His glory, not for the attention. When you serve for attention, your feelings get hurt and you quit. Anybody who ever serves for attention will sooner or later get your feelings hurt. And you will quit when that happens. Serve God because you love Him, though. He'll give you a backbone to help you love the person who may hurt your feelings. That's the way God works. I'm telling you, Matthias had a right to be upset, but he wasn't. He was behind the scene, and God used him. And one day when you get to heaven, you'll see, though he was not with the Lord for those 3.5 years walking with Him, He still will be in the foundation, His name, in the foundation of New Jerusalem, because He was the one that was added for the nation of Israel. Again, He was faithful. Serve God, not for attention. It seems like in the Bible, that not one lady ever turned their back on Christ. It was always the men. That amazes me. The ladies seem to be true. They may not have no spokesman to say anything much, but they had a heart to really serve God. Well, sometimes we think about we who serve capacity and we get paid for it. But we get paid. I get paid for what I do. I enjoy what I'm doing. And I get paid for that today. What a blessing that is. There was a time Barbara and I didn't get paid. But we get paid. Our workers get paid here. So therefore, you're blessing us by letting us work, where in turn we can actually get paid for it to a certain amount. And some people say some get more than we do, and some get less than we do when it comes to the church. Because you know what that is in the basis of our budget and so forth. But other people don't get paid a dime. They work another job and come here and work too just as hard. And so, therefore, we can see that we are paid. And I'm like, every year you look at the budgets and the deacons look at the budget. We see all of that. But those who don't get paid are the ones who are the silent ones. And I'm telling you, wherever you're at in this church, if you're doing what God has called you to do, and no one ever pays attention to that, God sees you. And God will honor you because you do what God has laid on your heart to do. It seems in the Bible, again, I said, ladies, don't turn them back on Christ. They had more character than all the men had. Do you know what has made the church? People who stick together. In John 20, verse 29, notice, turn over there again and look with me in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. And down about verse 29. Jesus said unto them, he said unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. We believe in Christ because we know through faith he's who he said he was. Matthias was a great Christian. He replaced Judas. He qualified to be an apostle, but was not chosen by Christ 3.5 years before this. And we see that he used his position well when God placed him in the body, or when God placed him with the 12, or when God placed him, he was not one of the 12. Again, James is one of the 12, but died in Acts chapter 12. And when he died, he was not replaced. That was 10 years later than this, about 10 years later than we see in Acts chapter 1. And after the official message went to the Jews and the Gentiles, and officially that had been completed, there is no need for the 12 apostles to witness just to the Jews anymore. And God had set it in order. We believe in Christ. Matthias was a great Christian at this time because he believed in Christ and he welcomed any place that God will allow him to use. Now, let me give the second point, and that's it. I'm going to go through it fast because I know you're ready to go home. The listing of some great Christians. Can I list some other than it's not in the highlight? And I don't have any of these by name, but I'll tell you, there's places that fit this. You take some farmer in Kentucky who loved God and serves in tithes and is faithful to his church. God don't overlook that. You take a factory worker in North Carolina that works hard but does not forsake the house of God. God will never overlook that. They will be blessed because of what God does through them. You take the state worker that realizes that God's government is more important than the North Carolina or U.S. government. And therefore, they work out, whereas that they can be involved with God's government as they work with the state or with the U.S. government. You take a laborer in Georgia that needs no miracle to serve God because he's just saved. Just the fact God loved him and saved him is enough that he wants to serve God. He has an incentive in his heart to do so. You take the scientist in Texas that never gets too smart to not serve God. Some people get a little education and get too smart to serve God. God help us to use what God gives us that we can be used to reach others, maybe on our same level. Anybody can say it's promotion time. I didn't get it, so I'm going to rest a while. It's promotion time. I didn't get a position. I'm going to rest a while. Matthias was not that way. Matthias was a man who said, Lord, I can't be one of the 12, but I'm be a follower of Christ. Here I'm in the upper room, one of the 20. That's all it takes. That's where I be. And then here God says, son, this time I'll move you out and put you in a position because of your faithfulness at that time. Anyone can be an Alka-Seltzer Christian. Alka-Seltzer Christian is one, you put them in water, they fizz a little while, and then you don't see them no more. Anybody, listen to me, can be a morning glory Christian. They fold up about 12 o'clock on Sunday, and that's about it. God needs people to stay in the firing line. I remember hearing a story of Hoover years ago, and to hear a story like this give me something about Hoover, because the only thing I ever thought about Hoover was Depression Day and the Hoover card. It was hard times. I came at the end of the Depression, but I've heard some stories, and some of you may be old enough to, most of you, may not be in here. Remember, you like me came along the end of the Depression Day. But he said that Hoover one time sought part-time employment with at Stanford University. And they said, well, Mr. Hoover said, the only thing we've got here now, we need a typist. He said, I'll take it. He said, but will you allow me to come to work next Tuesday instead of starting to work today on Friday? And the man said, well, I guess a couple more days will matter. Go ahead. So he came in on Tuesday morning. And the fellow hired him and said, Mr. Hoover, I'll ask you a question. Why did you say you wanted to come in on Tuesday instead of start to work Friday or even start Monday? And he said, well, it's very obvious, sir. He said, I had to rent a typewriter and learn how to type. He couldn't type. So he got a typewriter that day, and over the weekend and Monday and up to Tuesday went back. He learned how to type. I don't know if he could pick or what he did, but he could type. And they hired him beforehand. May God bless those who waver, who never waver, I should say. May God bless those who never wavered, who are always faithful, always busy, never seeking attention. No one seems to notice, but God does. God does. We may not be a John or a Peter or a Paul, but all of us can be a Barsabbas, Matthias. And I just know a blessing. What a blessing that time comes to those who are in the higher position when God touches someone who's just a good Christian to encourage and bless our hearts. And Barbara was talking about just a week. We've had in the last 2 weeks two or three times where people have just come by and blessed our heart. Just blessed us. Blessed us so much that we just praise the Lord God. You need people like that. Ladies and gentlemen, if God moves you higher in a position, it's not going to be easy. Every step higher gets harder and harder and harder. Greater is he that's in us in this world. And so he uses people from time to time to bless. Sister Tanya talking about blessing our mother tonight. He uses people to do that. If God ever touches your heart to call or talk to someone, do it. Because at that moment, he's touched your heart to be a blessing. You may not be nothing but a Matthias or Barsabbas, but he's touched your heart to be a blessing. And there's no one else can do it just like you. Just like me, when the time comes. Sometimes we have counsel session, Barbara and I do. And we always say a lot of times we get through after we pray, before and afterwards. We always say, isn't it an amazing thing how God blessed us tonight as we talk to these people, this person, this individual, these couples. Isn't it amazing how God blessed us tonight? Give us words to say, or comfort and encouragement. And sometimes we'll hear 10:30 when we're here witness on Wednesday night. But it's not a drag. It's not hard. And people, it amazes people. Say, preacher, we don't want to be here and take your time. Take it. Take it. Because it's when God can use us on a level different than standing here in this pulpit. Because it's specific. I'm giving you general now. It's specific. So when we go out this week, folks, listen to me. You may never be a Billy Graham. May never be a great teacher of the Bible. Your name may never be in the highlights of the neon signs. We may never be a John or a Paul or Timothy. But we can all be a Matthias, a Barsabbas. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us tonight, Lord. Thank you for men with character in the Scriptures. It gives us character to look at. Thank you for letting me study this. Thank you for the people who've been attended tonight and went a little longer than usual. But Lord, we need to see this. As I preach that God is always working this morning, he doesn't overlook a thing. And when God evaluates situations, many times there's rewards given here for people who serve in certain capacities that be no rewards in heaven. And yet there's things done here, no reward is given here sometimes that God will reward in heaven. I'm glad you're calling the shots. Thank you for that. Give our people this week a great week. Let them go back into the world and be blessed today. And when they're faced with something this coming week, help their mind bring back something to be a blessing. When they get discouraged, let them say, Lord, I may can never be the best teacher in the world. I may not have a big vocabulary. People may laugh at my vocabulary because of my talk, my Johnson County accent. But God, I'm going to be my best for you. I'm going to do what I can do for you. And dear God, if you'll use me, draw a circle around me. Don't let me hear what anybody else has to say. Don't let me have to look at anybody else face to face if it's not going to be what's going to help me. God, draw a circle around me and just use me for your glory. That's the only thing that really matters. I may never be an elaborate speaker. I may never be a very educated person as some can do. I may not be able to talk like some people can talk. But Lord, I can be a Barsabbas. I can be a Matthias. And I will be until you call me home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.